Blog Talk Radio.
Not for voting, you don't believe in war, but what's that gun you're toting? And even the Jordan River has bodies floating, but you tell me over and over and over again, my friend, you don't believe we're on the eve of destruction. Don't you understand what I'm trying to say? Can't you feel the fears I'm feeling today? If the button is pushed, there's no running away. There'll be no one to save with the world in a grave. Take a look around you, boy. It's bound to scare you, boy. And you tell me over and over and over again, my friend, you don't. Yeah, my blood's so mad, feels like coagulating. I'm sitting here just contemplating. I can't twist the truth, it knows no regulation. Handful of senators don't pass legislation, and marches alone can't bring integration. When human respect is disintegrating, this whole crazy world is just too frustrating. And you tell me over and over and over again, my friend, you don't believe we're on the eve of destruction. Think of all the hate there is in Red China, then take a look around to Selma, Alabama. You may leave here for 4 days in space, but when you return, it's the same old place. The pounding of the drums, the pride and disgrace. You can bury your dead, but don't leave a trace. Hate your next door neighbor, but don't forget to take race. And tell me over and over and over and over again, my friend, you don't believe we're on the eve of destruction. No, no, you don't believe we're on the eve of destruction.
I lay down, I lay down. I stop it, try to take it on again. Just lay down, lay down. Try to take it on again. Yeah, they got 8 million people and I didn't have a single friend. Don't you know, don't you know, New York was killing me. Yes, I was standing in dying, and New York was killing me. Seemed like I need to start over and go back home in Jackson, Tennessee. Lord have mercy, mercy on me. Yeah, Lord have mercy on me. Tell him to bury my body back home in Jackson, Tennessee.
To stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruptions. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Mendel Rivers to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nubs. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner. The revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on reports from 29 districts. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on a rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he had been saving for just the right occasion. Green Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so goddamn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally screwed Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry Arm Women Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Keyes, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, or Engelbert Humperdinck. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with Coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised. Will not be televised. Not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.
Difficult with that song there on that one. But hey, welcome to the Ron Beck Show. You know, the topic of tonight is CPS, Children Protective Services. Yeah, Antoinette put a nice little thing together for us tonight. I was really busy, couldn't do it. I sure appreciate her doing it for me. Yeah, I mean, it's getting bad, but I also got some news earlier tonight before I could get anything into the show or anything like that. Is about this deal, this minimum wage increasing factor in these nursing homes. They take care of veterans. I can't find a clip on it, though. I heard a clip earlier, but I can't find it. So, but apparently what they're saying is these nursing homes are no longer going to update their contracts or due soon. So veterans will be kicked out into the streets. So that's nice. But there again, also, there we go, you know, CPS is another issue. Trying the same path, but only they're snatching for the money, because you know they get, every time they snatch a kid from somebody, they make money. The government gives them money, you know. So it's a win-win situation. It's more they'll pull a child much more faster. You know they're looking for that bonus money. And if you tell you owe somebody money to do something illegal, but it's legal on their end and they're not going to be held responsible for it, you know why wouldn't you? You know, even though you know you're breaking the law, you think you're doing a good thing, but you're not. In all reality, and that's the sad part of all that. But we do have some clips. I guess Antoinette will come on. I guess I can unmute her. Hey, I'm sorry, Antoinette. Sorry about that. Did I get you? Well, she must be doing some more working on some more stuff. But I tell you what, we're going to do. We're going to go ahead and check.
I'm sorry.
This clip.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I hear you.
I'm sorry. I had myself muted. I didn't realize
that's right.
I'm sorry.
That's okay. it's, you know, hey, I know. I do it, too. I got three things that can mute me out, you know, and I forget one of them. Where am I at? You know, so, But, you know, just catch what I said about the VA nursing home deal.
Yes, that's terrible.
It's sad. It's sad. It's starting to piss a lot of people off. These nursing homes, they don't give a shit.
The VA hospital was never good. I mean,
right.
I don't
but
know around
no,
the country,
no, we're talking,
but
no, we're talking private
things.
Contractors. Private nursing homes, Antoinette. Private nursing home contractors that house veterans. But the thing is, the government's guideline is they have to increase the minimum wage more, and they don't want to do it, you know, and all that. So... And they're putting
so all of this is part
people.
Of the health care and everything else, in
my
opinion.
Well, apparently it was an executive decision. I don't know. I mean, I haven't done the research. I got the information right before the show started. So I really don't know much. I'm going to look at it, try to do some research. I tried twice, you know, getting going, but I can't seem to come up with it fast enough. But, yeah, wow. Mm. I mean, they get you when you're young and they get you when you're old. What the hell's the deal? What is going on?
Yeah, so
it's a smart.
They don't like children and they don't like the elderly. Don't get sick.
Well, right. Well, like we talked about the death panels a few nights back. You know, the death panels. You know, was it better to say getting treated? They have to wait so damn long, and by the time they get the help, it's too late. They're done dead.
Yeah.
And that's what the, you know, it's when a panel sitting decide how soon they're going to treat you. That's bullshit. You should be treated as you walk in the fucking door. The minute you walk in the door, you should be taken care of. What do you mean appointments? You know, if you get hit by a rock in the head and you're bleeding all the place or a bad car accident, do you have to wait to go to the emergency room? Do you have to set up an appointment?
Then you better have insurance.
Oh, yeah, you better have it. And plus your deductible, cash in hand. And, you know, some people, it's $1,000, $2,000 just to go in the hospital. Yeah.
Oh, that's terrible.
Right. That's out of place now. Then also that one, I think I read that clip or read something about the guy that was arguing about the, you know, he's going to the hospital and he's a senior and they're keeping him in there because he had a stomach problem, whatever it was, and they want to keep him there for observation. Well, Medicare doesn't cover observation.
Yeah.
So I'm saying it came out of his own personal pocket. You know, and he argued with the doctor trying to talk him into staying there longer and longer and longer, and he said, no, I ain't paying for this shit. You know, just observation, you know, they don't pay for it. But the problem with that is a lot of people do not know that, older people. They ain't got a clue. They're at the mercy of these son of a bitches, you know what I mean? The mercy of them. They don't have no mercy. And same thing with these kids, you know, Children Protection Services, they take these kids and they get bonus money for it. They're paid.
Yes.
You know, why would you not do that? If you can get money out of this, these people are too stupid up, and some people give their kids up to them. I've seen that happen, too. People just give their fucking kids right to them. That's bad. You know, I mean, it's a business. And what was that one guy I seen a clip on was the fact that he's seen a whole airplane full of kids going to France from here. You know, like, there's auction them off. Auctioning kids off. And they like them newborn, right when a newborn. If you come up with, like, a piss test, come up with some type of narcotic or drug on you, they're snatching that kid right off the bat. Fresh out of the oven.
Yes, well, one of the clips that I had shared with you, and I put it in the show description, I hope I did, was, okay, now I got to remember the name of it. Oh, Lord. Okay, y'all. It was on the CPS whistleblower. And he was telling, you know, the different things that when they question you, that for one, don't let them in your house. You don't have to let them in your house without a warrant. Which
right.
I think people should know.
Mm-hmm.
And that they will take anything that you admit that you did in your past. You know, you smoked a joint years ago.
Mm-hmm.
They'll use
mm-hmm.
that against you for today. And he had also said something that I found very interesting. He said the war on drugs is the war on children.
It's one of the key elements. Exactly. Right.
Yes.
That's what I said. If you come up dirty, they take the children. That's like a newborn child comes up. But, you know, the parent comes up.
Well,
with
just
type
if
of
you say it by
whatever.
Your mouth. If, you know, if you say, you know, 4 weeks ago, you know, a month or so ago, I smoked a joint, then you've already given them probable cause. If you tell them that as a child that you had a spanking, then they'll use that against you. You know, well, you know, you're just putting this out on your children. You know,
right. Well, you know, I've had children's services called on me before, you know, And
Yeah, I did too.
I remember the woman very well, but it was the whole deal. They won't tell you the one that called. I found out. You know, I mean, I got people. I'll find out. But anyway, this woman came to my house, and she wanted to go through the house, look through the cabinets and the bedrooms and shit like that. And I said, well, first off, that ain't happening. Second, you ain't telling me how to arrange my fucking house. My kids are healthy and they're fine. There's nothing wrong with my kids. Mm-hmm. They're not abused, not beat up. And I said, you know, I said, you ain't coming here and telling me how to run my house, first off. That ain't going to happen. Okay, she had, you know, the deputy with her, which is now the sheriff here. And he knows
He
knows me very
well. Did that properly.
Well, I mean, because I told her, I said, you know, I'm going to let you know something, little girl. You, you know, and I said, ma'am, you lying to me, ma'am. You know, she's a real smart ass. I said, well, it is on my property. Because I can call you anything I want. It's called the First Amendment right. And I said, now, here's the deal. You're on my property, and I charge $500 a minute to stand here. So you just entered a contract, which I'll come for you personally. I don't care what you think you're going to do or try to pull off bullshit with me. And then, you know, of course, the deputy goes, well, you know, Ron, we're just trying to help you. No, you ain't. You're trying to cause a conflict and cost me fucking money. That's what you're trying to do. It ain't going to happen.
Right.
Period. Ain't going to happen. Because here's the deal. I'm going to cost you. I will cost you a lot of money because I've learned my lesson with your game. I've never had it before, but I've seen so much of it. I did so much research on this whole topic, so I don't care. I know what you're up to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, somebody calls, and you jump. It doesn't matter who calls. You know, you make accusations, so automatically you want to jump in and start snooping around somebody's house, find something wrong, so you snatch your fucking kids. It ain't happening here. Never happened.
Right.
Okay? But anyway, one of my kids, my youngest son, it does happen again, okay? My youngest son, he's had problems reading in school, okay? So we take him to an eye doctor, all right? And we get him examined. Mm-hmm. He found he has a detached retina in one of his eyes, okay? Well, it happened from a roller coaster ride here in Branson, Missouri. You know, his head got slammed up against the cart when he was too little to be on in the first place. But it was actually the ride attendant's fault, you know? And I wasn't there. My wife wasn't her sister. I had nothing to do with this. But anyway, they called him on us for that, saying that we were abusing our child, you know?
Oh, my.
I tore him apart. I said, that's it. I will see you in federal court tomorrow. I'm not playing with you. I said, I will eat you alive. You know, I don't give a shit about you people. I said, first off, you ain't going to come here and violate my personal rights, my civil rights. You ain't doing it. It ain't going to happen. And I said, you know, you call a 20, 30, 40 fucking cops. I don't care because it ain't going to happen on this time to you. And they never came back after that. You're like,
Ron, you would love what mine was for.
Well,
they wanted to put
one,
my younger
one,
son.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead. They wanted
well,
to put my
no,
younger son
one.
On Ritalin.
Oh yeah, the school did.
And
the same thing.
I would not put him on it.
Mm-hmm,
used to. I mean, these people from the school was calling my pediatrician when they had a problem with my son instead of contacting me. It was a good thing I had a good relationship with my pediatrician.
Right.
And
well,
they said that I was negligent in providing my child an education by not medicating him. I'm not going to medicate him. And I said to the worker, he doesn't need medicine. He's just behind whipped. And to be taken off the sugar. I said, now, when he doesn't have any sugar, he's fine. You know, as long as he doesn't get too much fruit. I said, but what they were doing was they were giving him candy in school. Why are you going to give children candy?
Right. Give them junk food.
And I told him, so then I made some phone calls, you know, because I used to work for the state, so that took care of that.
Right. But come to find out, is the neighbor lady that was living by this old woman. She's the one that called them on us, okay? And she's like in her late 60s, you know. Well, she wanted my house. She was trying to get me to sell my house. She didn't have a lot of offers on it, okay? And I just wouldn't come off it, okay? And because it was on top of a cliff overlooking downtown Branson. I mean, nice house, right?
Yeah.
So apparently she's a nutcase. So anyway, finally one time she called me up and she's telling me how sad she heard about it and everything. And it was no big deal. I mean, they coming back. They closed the file or whatever the bullshit said. And she goes, you know, my daughter really likes your house. So you sure you wouldn't consider making tell us what you would take for it? So I came up with a retarded number, and she paid me for it. She bought the house. Okay? I made three times more than what the house was worth. But I just wanted to get away from her. I couldn't take it. I just didn't want to have to
deal
with the
bullshit. And this is saying the things that people will do come after your children. You know, and all this over, they don't like you or, you know, your personality or,
well,
you know, any little thing.
Right. Well, I was all cool about it. You know, I kept my cool. And anyway, the old woman, you know, we closed on the house. They paid me the money. I was happy. And then I think it was about a month later, she got indicted for fraud. So, you know, how do you want to play? I don't discriminate from age. So I gave her something right back. Come to find out that she owned and operated a trailer park while she's collecting Social Security. Okay?
Oh, isn't that wonderful?
Right, but she had it in her kids' names, but she was still getting the money. Okay,
yeah,
we're talking thousands of dollars,
about
thousands of dollars. Right, but she never paid into Social Security, ever.
Oh.
And she wasn't legally married to her husband either, so she couldn't collect his either. So, I mean, that's just as bad. I hate to say it's a bad thing to happen, but she got what she deserved. You know, I mean, that's that.
Yeah, well, whenever you go to take someone's children, you know, last night I have watched, I love Madea, y'all, and I know a lot of people don't like Madea. Mm-hmm. But I watched Madea's Neighbors from Hell, which really rekindles this whole, it's
I've
new.
I've not seen that, Flex. It is.
Yeah, it's new. It's very new. And it's a play.
I like that.
Ron, you have to see it. It's so funny. But, you know, what the neighbor from hell was a woman who was a foster mother who had these three children, and I'm sorry, I'm blowing it for y'all, who had these three children that were foster children.
Mm-hmm.
The woman treated these children, you didn't see her actually abuse them or anything like that, but, you know, you knew that that was what was going on. And
right.
Finally, the children talk because, you know, once Madea gets in it. And the woman, you know, was apologizing and everything because they called the police and stuff like that. But she was talking about how she was raised in the foster system and how she was abused.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it just, just because it looks good on the outside, these foster families, you know, foster homes or, you know, what is really going on the inside and how many of these children are not talking because they done been through so many different ones and so many things have happened to them.
So what
are we doing to the children? And, you know, then I was also thinking, all right, now, children that are taken for bogus reasons. And what about if they have, you know, a religious preference? You know, they're growing up, you know, Catholic.
That don't mean nothing because
Muslim or no. This is what I'm saying. And you put these children. All right, imagine putting Muslim children in with a Christian family. Well, that's not going to work. Or if you take and you put Jewish children in with a Christian family or a Muslim family. That's not going to work.
But they don't care about that.
No, they don't care
about your religion. But the only thing they care about is that number.
Well, and also, Ron, when you go to play that
cattle,
clip.
Man.
Yes, when you go to play that clip on the whistleblower who exposes it, and then also we can't forget the senator who was exposing it and speaking out against it. And she was murdered. The senator of Florida.
Sure. Well, yeah, you're screwing with the criminal cartel.
Right.
And that's what people don't seem to understand. This ain't what people think it is. And it's just one of the issues, just one of a big criminal cartel. We're controlled by
the mob.
Well,
you know, the one that got me, and I don't know if I sent it to you, I have to figure out which one it is now, was the one where they were talking. And one of the workers was saying that some of the children are chosen.
Yeah.
You know, where somebody wants this child, and, you know, somebody, you know, probably, you know, of course, it has to be somebody with some money and influence.
Right.
And they choose certain children. You know, I guess they like them, they want this child. So they will make a case against these people, you know, to go in and take the child and then adopt the child out.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
You know, so
it's like selling cattle. It's just like auctioning off cattle.
So,
yeah,
you know,
people
selling the children, you know.
Fuckers are vindictive.
Yes, what price is on a child's head? You know, and where is the, you know, what happened to the protection of children? You know, to honestly protect children.
I mean, I had to protect my children. I had to protect them myself, you know what I mean? You know, like the instance with the school, you know, calling them off and that deal, is my son being hurt with his eye. You know, I knocked that out of the park real fast. But there was another incident where they were in school, and the school, my boys had a problem on the bus with some other kids. Of course, it happens, you know?
Yeah.
So anyway, they recommended that we take my children to a psychiatrist. I said, okay, fine. Well, we'll check it out. We'll see what's up. Okay, they go to see this guy. He does these little tests and blah, 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 blah. You know, it's bullshit. Mm-hmm. He gets us in the room there. He goes, you know, me and my wife. And he goes, well, I'm going to put your kids on a drug that will help them out. It's kind of like meth. That's exactly what he said.
Oh, Lord.
Like meth. I looked at him. I said, okay, sir, let me ask you one thing. Do you know what it's like to be put on a fucking ventilator? And he goes, well, yes, I do. I said, well, guess what? You say that shit towards my kids one more fucking time, and you're going to have to live on that ventilator because I'm going to fucking hurt you.
Well, Ron, I wondered if you take
this
home because of that.
This is over. This is over. I said, you can call the police and do whatever the fuck you want, but I will have you stripped, ripped, and dipped, fucker. And I mean it. I'm not playing with you. This right here told me that you're going to give a prescription drug that people use on the street to calm them down. There's nothing wrong with my kids, man. You're out of your fucking mind. You know, and I don't care. I will move heaven and earth for my children. You know?
Yeah.
And matter of fact,
yeah, I mean, that's
the
way I think we all are. You know, the majority of people in this world, you know, when it comes to their children, you know, you go over all kinds of obstacles and everything to, you know, to make sure that your children aren't protected, that they're not exposed to a whole lot of mess, and if they do get involved with mess, then you're the first one to get out there and fight whoever you got to fight to pull them out of the mess.
But it's nothing really my kids did. And the thing was, what I did the next day, I was so pissed. I didn't sleep. You know, I went to school the next day, and, you know, you got the secretary and you got the principal's office, right? Well, they have cops in the schools now, okay? And it's a big cop and stuff like that. Anyway, I walked in, and she sees me. She goes, can I help you? I said, nope. And I walked right through the doors, right into his boss and the superintendent and the principal at the same time. I said, hello, fellas. How's it going? And the cop started walking. He see me walking. He started backing up. The cop did, all right? I said, here's the deal.
Mm-hmm.
After I slammed doors, here's the deal. If this bullshit ever happens again, ever, I will put a mud hole so deep in your ass I can catch fish out of it. Period. I mean it. I'm not playing this little game you fuckers trying to play with me. You ain't going to get my kids taken away from me. You can say what you want about me, but I guarantee you I will fry you people. I don't care. You know what? Here's the point. I will threaten your money. If this ever happens again, you try to pull this bullshit on me. You know, so that was cool. Then, of course, I had another deal. And this time, the superintendent was in tears, and we wound up in court. We actually wound up in court because it was academic neglect. Me and my wife was charged with academic neglect because my kid missed 2 days of school. All right? This is the bad part about it. I got the final report card. I've agreed to this shit. I volunteered to fucking plead guilty to this academic neglect. So I thought he missed a lot of days. I don't know. I was working. I had no idea. So I just went along with it, okay? So, the years here, I'm paying his probation fee every month for me and my wife, blah, blah, blah. And I get the final report card in the year. He missed 6 days in the whole fucking year. You want to talk about this again? Okay, so what I did is I got my truck, went to the courthouse, walked in the courtroom, waited until all the court was over. Judge says, why are you here? I said, because I want to talk to you about this. Bullshit. He goes, well, then, you know, you're going to do what you've got to do. So I said, here, this is what I'm doing. Here's a motion because I'm withdrawing my guilty plea and my wife's. I'm going to represent her. She is my wife. I own 51% of the corporation between us both. So that means I am the CEO, the president, and the spokesperson for this company. He goes, no problem. I'll give it to you. Ralph, the bad gift to me. Took it to trial. This went to trial. And they said it could have been a computer error on the school. It could have been a computer error. There's a problem. So the computer's doing the thinking for people now. They can't keep count no more people.
Well, of course.
So the case, I won the case, all right?
Mm-hmm.
So then they had to park up $40,000 to me. Taxes paid. So I sued them for that. And they lost.
Yeah.
So, I mean, hey, that's the way it works. But the thing is, most people don't, I did something like most people do. I didn't know. I wasn't paying attention. You know what I mean? That's what's that. We go pay attention to this. And then I feel, wow, of all people, me, to plead guilty to this. It's a little bullshit misdemeanor thing. But when it comes out, it's a money grab. I mean, it costs $85 a month for me to pay this to go see the probation agent. You know what I mean?
Well,
and they said if I paid all at one time, I'd be off probation early. If I paid them all the money up, I could have paid off one time and been done. Ain't that funny? You mean I could pay my way out of this? You know what I mean? If I paid up $85 a month for 2 years, I would have been, we've been done with probation. What a prick.
Ron, yesterday was Mother's Day. Next month is Father's Day. Look at the mothers and fathers who would have rather dished out all of this money and have their children that don't have their children. You know, I mean, you know, I'm, you know, and just like Iggy, you know, we were talking about, you know, how our wonderful, our Mother's Day was wonderful. How many mothers was their day not wonderful because they don't know what's going on with their children? You know, they don't know if their children is being abused in the system, if they're getting pregnant, you know, if they're, you know, they're being, you know, stuck with all these drugs and everything else. You know, how many mothers are going through this? And then next month, how many fathers are going to be thinking this? You know, what's going on with my children?
I'm sorry, I muted out for a second. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Oh, okay.
I
sent you a clip on the CPS worker, the whistleblower.
Mm-hmm. Well, you want to listen to that? Let's do that. I'm saying bring
yes,
it up before we hear it. Let me know if you can hear it well.
Okay.
Get to work, right? This one just takes a second, folks.
Okay. But this is really interesting, this clip that he's going to play. It's 22 minutes long. I think it'd be best just to let it go through and just play the whole way. I hope y'all don't get impatient or anything. But it's really an interesting clip. And if you this man worked for CPS, so he's telling you, and then later we'll tell you about the senator, how her and her husband were killed because she, you know, was fighting the CPS system. Okay. I'm sorry.
Okay, we're still working on this. This says 5 minutes, Antoinette.
5 minutes? That's not the right one, then. The one that I sent you is for 22 minutes. It's the
Hold on.
CPS whistleblower. Do I need to look it up for you again?
I'm trying to find it. There's a very first one you sent me, wasn't it? Yeah, very first one.
I don't know.
Yeah, it says 5 minutes.
Okay, I don't know what that one is. I just don't remember off the top of my head.
Okay, we'll go ahead and play this one just to get everybody started. It'll help out a little bit.
Yeah, okay, you know what?
Here in Manchester.
Ron?
Yeah.
Here's the link for the one that I was referring to. to give that to you right now. I don't know what the 5-minute one is, so it could be something else.
This is the Truth Over Comfort podcast.
Oh, okay. No, I don't know what that is. I was giving you the link because, you see, the war on drugs is a war on the family.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm sorry. But I just gave you the link. Let me give it to y'all also. But I believe I did put them in the description or the tag.
This is Luke Renessi. We are Chase Lark here in Manchester, New Hampshire, and I'm here with Carlos Morales.
So CPS whistleblower speaks out.
Yes.
Okay, it's a 5-minute thing.
It's 5 minutes?
Let's check it out. Let's check it out. Let's see what it's about.
Okay.
Alice was a former employee of the CPS, Child Protective Services. Now, Carlos, from your experiences working there, what do you think that American people should know about CPS?
Well, first and foremost, Child Protective Services does not help children. It hurts them, based primarily on their actual incentive structure. You see, Child Protective Services gains more money for every single child that they take away, as well as foster homes do. You see, because the only way that CPS gets money, essentially, is they prove allegations are true. So they prove that allegations are true in regards to, say, maybe a parent who smoked marijuana. At one point, you can actually kidnap the child based on that, correct? So and in family court, the judges are paid for the people that are paying Child Protective Services. So they, again, are also paid for it in the same case. Child Protective Services does not gain money by actually helping children or preventing child abuse whatsoever.
Working at the CPS, what are some of the most egregious cases that you came upon or heard of that happened?
Well, you know, we removed children because a parent was allowing the child to be outside for too long.
I know about the pool.
We removed a child because a parent was smoking marijuana outside their home whenever they wanted their own kid at a particular time. And of course, when you talk about activists who are getting in trouble regarding Child Protective Services, there's actually a particular case in Austin where someone who admitted to being for the legalization of cannabis, well, his home was basically initiated by Child Protective Services and police investigators. They managed to find one joint. They took his child outside of the home, and that kid died in foster care within 7 days. That's just horrendous, horrible stories. You've been there. How long have you been working at the CPS? Well, I quit after working there 1 year and 1 month after a particularly terrible case in which a mother was actually shot in front of her. I will not talk about the particular name of the case. Just
you got four.
You don't want to reveal that information.
And subtracting your four.
The CPS, how we see you working there. It's a very serious organization.
Right.
From where it's heading and where it's going, do you see a lot of political repercussions based on people who speak up against political issues? Do you see CPS being used to get people like that? Absolutely. Again, exactly as I already mentioned, a number of people have also been for things like homeschooling and unschooling and maybe not forward with the Western style of medicine have been attacked. And there have been false allegations made in regard to
those people. You still need to have a
parent, even though they're not. And having the children removed. You know, it's case after case after case. I mean, I basically
know
20 people, and I get about 20 phone calls a day just from people who are being assaulted by these individuals, which is why it's really important for people in the liberty movement or just political movement in general to understand what to do with Child Protective Services comes after them. Now, I know you may just share calls from your personal experiences and horrible things that that happened and occurred when you work at CPS, but what should people know out there if they get a contact? What should people know specifically with dealing with CPS? Do you have any quick tips and pointers and advice for them out there? Absolutely. First and foremost, recognize the fact that Child Protective Services is a health children is a domestic terror cell within the United States. Let every single other person you know that fact, including your kids. So if investigators ever go up to your kids and start talking to them, they're legally allowed to do so, but your kids do not have to say anything back
to them. Third, if they go show up to your house, do not allow them into your home. Because a few dirty glasses would be considered an unlivable condition for a child. Fourth, that's not absolutely unlivable whatsoever. Admit to no prior domestic violence. Admit to specifically nothing. If it's happening to your child, because it was just anything against you, they will manipulate the word that you're doing. They think it was trying and time.
No, I'll come to you. I fucking
know. I know.
I can't hurt you. I can't hurt you.
And because of their particular viewpoints and arguments, and situations got very ugly. So I'm very thankful for people like you who were on the inside, who were willing to speak out to tell us about what's really happening with CPS. Just the fact alone that they're getting paid to gather up more children is just astonishing and seems very backwards. But do you have a website or a podcast that people could find out more about you? I know you've made this your cause. Where can people find out more about what you're doing? You can find every single thing I produce at truthovercomfort.net. It's a podcast and YouTube show. It also has a community for people who are having issues with child protective services. Thank you so much, Carlos. Is there anything else you want to say to the people out there who are listening right now? Absolutely. Stay strong in your struggle against child protective services, and I will fight these bastards tooth and nail. Carlos, thank you so much for your work and actions. Really appreciate it.
Okay.
Antoinette, you sent me that clip before on the email.
Okay.
Let's see if I can find it. Okay. The one you're talking about. It's a good clip. People really need to hear this one.
What was the senator? What was her name? You know, a good senator. Anytime you get a senator to, you know, speak out against CPS and, you know, and then her and her husband are killed.
Right, yeah. Yeah, that's...
And I think she was the one... She was either in Georgia or Texas. I'm going to get it for y'all. Between the both of us, I'm sorry that... And I have all these lined up on the page. I have put several clips on the... pardon me?
I had it, too.
Yeah, and I'm sorry, usually I have the clips already up, but I was late eating dinner, y'all, so I was trying to worry about eating before the show.
It's Monday, instead.
Yeah. And the weather.
Yeah, we're getting storms here right now.
Yeah, see, and we're supposed to get them tomorrow. They were calling for them tonight, but now it's tomorrow. Okay, that's why I said the one you got was only 22 minutes.
It's only 5 minutes.
5 minutes. Okay, that's why I'm trying to find you the one that is 22 minutes, because that one was really...
This one about, here's Native foster care, lost children, shattered families.
No, that's not the one I'm thinking about. See, I've listened to so many of them, but it was one that I listened to just before the show, and... I truly apologize, y'all, because we should have been better prepared for this. And as I said, normally I already have them up and everything, and I was eating
first. I don't know how I lost it. Well,
and I shouldn't have been eating.
No, we're bad at that.
Okay, I got it. Yes, I have it. I'm going to give it to you right now. This one, the CPS worker, he exposes the corruption, the kidnapping, and I'm glad they're calling it for what it is, the kidnapping of children, because to me that's exactly what it is. you know, you're kidnapping these children.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to give you the link in a second.
Okay. Did it sound good when I ran that clip?
Yes, but we heard you and Mrs. Reck.
No, that was my niece that came by. Give me a hard time.
Oh, well, we heard you and your niece.
She only wanted money.
Well, what do all young people want?
I know.
Okay, there you go, Ron.
Okay.
Let me give it to her.
Yeah, now this is it. Yeah, this is the
one. Pardon me?
This is the one, yep.
Yep, that's it.
All right, well, here we go, kids.
Why did you leave GPS? What was your primary reason for leaving?
You know, I was a special investigator for Child Protective Services in Texas from February 2012 to March 2013.
Ron, it can
you know,
go
I
loud
already was a libertarian whenever I joined, but I kind of bought into the idea that Child Protective Services would be the one agency where I could actually help children, though they were a branch of the government. You know, they'd be the ones who'd actually help them. And I found that I was wrong on every single level.
Yeah, better.
It's not just, you know, normal bureaucratic corruption.
I think a little bit more. Is it all right for y'all? If somebody could just
the investigators had
tell me yes or no if you need it.
Which was kind of the power of every single child.
You, because the other
one said yes. The ability to deal with the destroyed lives is one that wasn't really carefully.
Yeah, that's good for me.
I quit because, as some people in the agency stated, I didn't have the toughness for it, or, you know, this takes special kind of people. I quit because what we were doing was not helping people, but instead destroying lives. You know, I came to think of it in the same way Judge Bonnie Lindsay explained it, which was there is no system ever devised by mankind that is guaranteed to rip husband and wife or father, mother and child apart so bitterly than our present family court system.
Ryan, did you have an instance that really captured you? Because I do remember when you first started working, you were telling me about some pretty intense things that I just, I personally, I don't think I really could have handled that well, but you seem to handle really well, you know, and, was there a moment where there's something, or was there finally developed up that made you realize this isn't what I think it is?
Well, I mean, I think my first case was very much my best case, in the sense that it seemed like a clear-cut kind of a situation where there was a drug bust at a home, and there were children there who were being forced to take a shit around the areas where the drugs were in order to prevent people from coming in to steal them. There was no running electricity in the house, but the drug dealers themselves actually owned like a Hummer and a number of nice cars. And there was a mother there who we were pretty sure was on drugs. The mother cried and screamed, and the children cried and screamed, and neighbors came out saying, please don't take away these children. Please don't send them to a foster home. Supposedly, we couldn't find any placement beside the foster home, which I still doubt even now. And it seemed like one of the situations where, oh, look, we're actually helping. But, you know, in foster homes, you have a way higher chance of being raped, molested, abused and killed than you do in an actual home where you're already being abused. And that one case was the best case I ever had. From there, it was cases where, you know, there was maybe a father who was smoking marijuana 2 weeks ago, and then you end up having to set him up in a situation to where you're going to end up traumatizing the kids because they're going to tell the dad he has to leave the home. There was one case where there was a removal involving some children who were hanging out outside, and Child Protective Services found that to be improper, so the children would have to be removed from that case and thrown into a foster home. It was one case after another, but what we were really doing was enforcing the war on drugs more than enforcing the war on child abuse, because the vast majority of cases we had were not for physical abuse, but they were supposed neglect or just cases that were completely made up, and then we have to ask these children questions regarding them being molested, abused, neglected, and emotionally threatened
in certain cases where it wasn't even occurring whatsoever, really fucking up these kids. And we did everything through brute force rather than any kind of rational means, which is basically expected from any kind of government organization.
Right. Were there any cases where you did encounter actual abuse?
Oh, absolutely. But what I found was that the situations we then removed them from weren't much more helpful. And, you know, especially when we're talking about foster homes, you know, when you're talking about child protective services, you have to think about incentives, because every single agency runs off incentives, and in the family law system, you have an incentive actually to remove children if you find alleged child abuse, because without child abuse, no one continues to get paid. That's how you get funded. Now, a foster home, the reason why they have an incentive for abuse is a different kind of abuse, which is a war kind of on children's minds. A foster home is funded, or at least a foster parent is given more money for every single disability that a child has. So if you have a kid who, you know, has just been removed from his home, has been removed from his family, his community, his church, his school, and then you stick him in this situation where, you know, he's meeting these people that he does not know, he's very, very high stress. He might have been malnourished from the last home. So you have a kid who's going to be called ADHD, bipolar, schizophrenic, an insomniac, and a number of other disorders, and they'll pop you on a shitload of pills in order to remedy that so-called situation. So what you have is you have foster homes which are being incentivized to dope kids. Does that mean every single foster home is bad? No. Does that mean every single foster parent is bad? Absolutely not. I got some responses, actually, from some people who I believe were concerned that I was making that broad statement. I absolutely not. I'm simply pointing out the incentives and chances for corruption in child protective services and Texas family or just family law in general, which are not small. The whole basis for child protective services is very much based primarily on the supposition that the parents that you're going to be dealing with from the get-go are guilty.
Right. So for the parents who are not, in fact, good foster parents, how do they go about getting all of these diagnoses for these children?
Generally, there's a psychological evaluation which can be done by some state doctor who states, oh, well, this kid has this, we need to put him on such drugs. You know, and this runs the same way that, you know, it kind of works when it comes to parents yelling about their kids being a nuisance to them, which is the pediatrician or the person doing the psychological evaluation basically is just trying to calm down the situation as quickly as possible rather than doing through the counseling. And the quickest way possible is by sticking them on Seroquel, Zyprexa, Depakote, Adderall, or whatever the hell else prescription drug that they're actually tested on children in order to kind of zombify it so that they'll be calm for the moment. Of course, while disregarding the legitimate long-term side effects of these drugs.
Yeah. Well, I disagree with you in the respect that these drugs have, in fact, been tested on children, and they know that they have an effect they want, so that's why they use them.
I guess when I'm stating effects, I'm talking about clinical research. You know, whenever you're doing a large group study for a psychological drug, whenever you're presenting to the FDA, you're not allowed to do so on people that are under 18 years old. So instead of testing in a real clinical, in clinical research, instead it's just giving the kids post-hoc after the drug has already been done. So you end up in a situation kind of where these children end up becoming the guinea pigs for pharmaceutical companies, something I don't think anyone would say is a good idea.
Right. Okay. What tips are you ever tips do you have for parents who, if for instance, the kids were to come knocking on your door tomorrow, and you're not an neglectful, not an abusive parent, you know, I think that we all have this notion that there is this authoritarian who is from the state that we need to let in our doors, otherwise we're going to see issues even more so of being neglectful or being, you know, abusive. So do you really have to let them into your homes, or what sort of advice do you have for them to, you know, have to unfortunately encounter these agents unjustifiably? So.
Yeah, so, you know, I did this kind of list that I'm about to explain came with help from a website called FightCPS.com, which I'm kind of going to be citing here because they are a very, very helpful website for parents who are dealing with child protective services at the time. I'd also like to state that what I asking, but I'm making, I'm not trying to help people who are physically abusing and molesting their children. Those people need to be handled with. All the Child Protective Services have shown time and time again that they're terrible at it. Now, the CPS investigator comes to your home. Number one thing here, stay calm. Do not just start yelling at the investigator and telling him to go fuck himself. The investigator will see any kind of hesitation as an admittance of guilt. These people think they're brilliant and have a hard-on for pseudo-justice. In this case, I would recommend not lying, but possibly omitting specific things that are not relevant to the question asked. If you choose to lie, that's your own choice. But there are certain things you're going to want to admit. If you admit that you had a drinking problem, say, 5 years ago, they'll use that as evidence against you, even if you hadn't had a sip in 5 years. And even if you've had therapy because of it, the less said, the better. Child Protective Service social workers usually show up at your door with little to no evidence. If they are acting on an anonymous tip, they literally have nothing, and they cannot get a warrant if there's an anonymous tip. They cannot get a court order on an anonymous tip. The only thing they can use against you is information you give them for the most part. Don't let them talk to your kid while alone. Now, this is a tip out there for people whose children are in public school, which I wouldn't recommend anyway. It's pretty much just an institution that dulls the mind and dulls the will. But if your kids are in public school, at any point, a Child Protective Service investigator is allowed to interview them without even letting you know. So it is important to let your kids know about CPS before they ever even have to deal with them, so that they know what to do and do not be intimidated by these workers who will try to intimidate them. Now, don't let them talk to your kids alone. You don't even need to let them talk to your kids whatsoever. And record everything with videotape if you can. This is not illegal to do, and it's incredibly important. Because in a court case, it's your word against theirs. And I will constantly remind everyone, you are guilty until proven innocent in family law. Secondly, know your rights. Until a warrant is given, which is incredibly difficult to do, they're not allowed in your house. If you talk a lot, your words will be twisted in such a way to be used against you in court. Also, if you allow this person your home, which you should not do, they are not legally allowed in your home. But if you do, he will most likely find something there to complain about and use against you in court. A sink with 8 dishes needing washing and show up in his report as a sink full of dirty dishes and a filthy kitchen, which of course would serve to make you look bad to a judge. Therefore, just don't let these people in your house. You have no idea what an issue a CPS investigator can make out of a pile of laundry sitting next to your washing machine. Now, Karen, I believe you wanted to the kind of questions that would be asked in an investigation.
Yeah, what are the questions that tend to be asked by these individuals? And before we go into that, I wanted to ask, you know, who are these people and what are the qualifications to become a CPS officer?
That is a completely valid question. I actually came from, I had a bachelor's degree in sociology. Mm-hmm. How the hell that had anything to do with being able to understand other individual psychology blows my mind. And, it really speaks a lot to the fact that I met the Child Protective Service investigators who had a degree in music, and they are supposedly supposed to be able to investigate cases as if they have a master's degree in psychology. They're supposed to be able to understand someone's lying. They're supposed to be able to not intimidate children in some of these cases, even though, not asking the impressions is incredibly difficult. They're supposed to not bring their biases in, which, by the way, is pretty much impossible. They're supposed to know which eyewitness reports to trust, eyewitness reports which are going to be incredibly fallible. I think it's important to be reminded of the fact that in many of these cases, you're dealing with people's memory, which is already going to be slippery as it is. At CPS, we had to make investigation reports based off of our memory, of the memory of someone else, who many times is basing off of the memory of someone else, who had an inherent bias in their story. That story was then edited at least a few times until getting to the investigator. And with that basis, we had the ability to disrupt the family structure and traumatize the child. We had to do all of this with 2 months training.
So you go from with a bachelor's degree in music, you go through 2 months of training, and then knock on houses and potentially disrupt some separate families. Okay, all right. Wait a minute. You'll continue. So going beyond that, what are the types of questions that these officers with their qualifications can ask?
Okay. So So they're going to basically, what they're trying to fill a risk assessment to be able to tell, okay, what are the main reasons why we should have moved this child to this home?
Right.
One of the things they're going to ask you is family history. Okay, so they're trying to check to see if there was any abuse in your history. Now, what you need to realize is that even if you were hit as a child, this isn't the time to bring it up. The CPS worker is not your therapist. Don't bring up, oh, I was molested when I was 6 years old. They're going to use that as evidence against you. Any abuse in your past will be used against you. I am referring to the adult. Now, if you're an adult, right, and you say, I'm not an abuser, I should know what it is, I was abused as a kid, what this says to them is that you were abused, therefore you are likely to be an abuser. Believe me, no matter what terrible situation you went through as a kid, it's better not to mention any of this to a social worker. They will not feel sorry for you suddenly out of nowhere. They're going to use this evidence as evidence against you. Remember, all information they're going to try to use against you. Secondly, what they're going to bring up is your drug history. This is another thing where I'm not going to suggest that you lie, just maybe omit some things. If you smoked weed 4 weeks ago, guess what? They can use that as evidence to the point of being able to take your child out of the home if they can stack it right. If they can tell it to their supervisor, her supervisor, right? Or maybe even to the judge, who might be one of those radical, hey, most parents are fucking terrible at the judges. Don't admit or omit the fact that you might have smoked weed 4 weeks ago or something along those lines. Don't bring up the fact that you used any kind of drugs in college. All of these things will be used against you. Remember, Child Protective Service investigators are not there for your best interest. They are there for their own interests and their own incentives, and their incentives are not to protect the parent. They also bring up alcohol use. Now, if you actually left them in your house, oh, well, then you have your bottles of wine or whiskey, whatever the hell you have there, it's going to be harder to be able to bring up that you don't drink. What I would mainly suggest is if, you know, I rarely, if ever, do. I can't even remember the last time I did. I'll try to ask you more detailed questions. Be generic, be general, don't go into too much detail, because the more detail you go into, the more chances you have of contradicting yourself. By the way, contradiction doesn't always mean that they're lying. Sometimes you just end up saying something incorrectly. Then they'll ask you questions regarding domestic violence history. If your husband ever yelled at you, or if your wife's ever yelled at you, deal with that through therapy. Don't deal with that through CPS. Again, this is not a therapy session. They're going to use this as evidence against you. They might possibly drug test you as well if they're concerned about that, if the anonymous supporter stated that you were a drug user. Now, you can state that you don't want to do any drug tests whatsoever, which is fine, but just know that they can get a court order to make you do a piss test, and then a piss test is going to be more in-depth. For instance, if you smoked weed 6 weeks ago, they might be able to tell that. Or they might just simply say, hey, why don't you do this mouth swab test? And these mouth swab tests, they're not great. In fact, if they swab your mouth, they can tell if you smoked weed in the last 2 to 3 days, but any time before that, it's not going to really be able to tell anything. Most everything else is 24 to 48 hours. So if you did cocaine 2 weeks ago and a mouth swab test, it's not going to show it. Realize that drug contradictions may occur in these tests. For instance, if you're on a drug called Lamictal, it'll show up positive as PCP. Mainly with all these things, realize, again, that you're simply trying to get these people out of their lives as quickly as possible. Next, they'll ask you for something called collaterals. Collaterals are people that can back up any claims you make. In this case, you may want to give them some information. Maybe you'll give them a trusted friend or a family member. Don't give them names of ex-husbands or ex-boyfriends. They're going to fuck you over. And there's many cases where they have. Have friends you know who know the system. Talk to people before CPS gets in contact with them. Tell them their story and warn them about Child Protective Services. While you're doing all of this, Dana, I'll let you know in a sec. I want to make sure I get this. Keep a notebook. Keep a notebook explaining everything. Facts about your case. For instance, what really happened. Notes on every single phone call. Notes on every single meeting. Notes on every single visitation. Contacts with expert witnesses. Notes about the court hearings. Anything out of the ordinary that happens. Counseling appointment notes. Notes about a psych evaluation. Record of all drug tests and results. Reminders about the date of your next hearing. This is the organization. By the way, if you miss any of these, you can get really screwed over. So don't do that. visitation of foster parents' names and contact information if you have it, notes on all contacts or attempted contacts with the lawyer, notes on all your daily activities. If all this still leads to you end up having to go to court, get a lawyer. I don't care about your financial constraints. If you care about your children, you will get a lawyer. Make sure the lawyer deals with family law cases and not just some lawyer you find on TV. FightCPS.com has a list of lawyers who can help you in this situation. If the court demands that you do classes, do all of them. They'll look at any reason to destroy parental rights. Again, copy and print everything from your notebook and keep all the information in a safe place. In the world of the family or family court, if you are guilty until proven innocent, you need to always remember that.
So my next question would be, do you even have to fight these individuals in the first place? If someone comes knocking on your door, being an investigator with no sets of qualifications, do you really have to communicate in the first place?
Yes, you do. So you can simply say, I'm not going to talk to you whatsoever, but say there's another family who hates you. Like, they hate the fact you're a loud neighbor or whatever else. They can make up charges about drugs or abuse or pedophilia and a number of other things. And then they can finally get a court case against you and you want to put cops at your home. And they can take your kids. So realize, again, to stay calm and do talk to these people. Just be prepared before you go in. It's not the same as getting pulled over where you don't talk to the cop whatsoever. This is a case where it's all flimmy-flammy. Very few people actually pay attention to many of the laws. And most importantly, CPS investigators hope you don't know your rights. And they don't ever, ever, ever explain to the investigators to remind parents of their rights. It's easier to abuse the situation, although in their cases, they just simply say it's easier on them to further if you don't know your rights. It's corrupt from the very get-go.
But easier on them referring to the children who are in a particular circumstance, or easier on the parents who are being...
Well, according to them, they're the child abuse warriors. So to them, anything that's good for CPS is good for children whatsoever.
Okay.
I would like to remind everyone just to make sure you check out CPS.com for any further information in regards to this. Taryn, I know we wanted to go in more about free market solutions for something like child protective services. But for now, I think it's important to just kind of get this from me. So make sure everyone to check out FightCPS.com. Check out our prior podcast on child protective services and the true incentives behind it. And if you need any kind of help and you can't get it to FightCPS.com, email us at therenegadevariety@gmail.com. If this seems crass, I understand, but make sure to check us out on Facebook as well and on therenegadevariety.com. If you need any more information, do not have any concerns about contacting me. Contact me as soon as possible. If you're a libertarian and you need help with any of this kind of CPS stuff, let me know. But be upfront, don't lie, and for the kind of person who's going to justify hitting children before you message me, don't bother messaging me whatsoever.
Thank you.
Well, there you go. That's what it's all about. That's a criminal cartel for sure. It's all about the money. Wow. And he's using children. Use the abuser. I would think it would be more of them being the actual abuser than what's really going on. It's just like you said. It's the money bracket. And that's terrible. Our own children being used for that type of situation. That's just definitely wrong. That's straight up horrible. You know, it can amaze me why people, you know, that work for these agencies, I mean, I'm sure they have a fast turnover there. They have to, some people, too many people have a conscience. But this is a monstrosity of a bad thing happening. But yeah, you know, y'all, the phone lines are open. You want to call in, talk about it, you're more than welcome to. Our number is 718-508-9813. Go ahead and call in if you got something to add to this, you know, segment of what we're talking about. But it's more than this. It's every aspect of our lives. We have to deal with this criminal cartel. I don't, you know, where's the serve and protect part at? I don't see it no more. I don't, you know, it's more like their own personal interests they're wanting to protect instead of us. And now they're calling us terrorists? What? That don't make no sense. I mean, I ain't no terrorist. Shit, man. You know, that's crazy. And I think the majority of Americans are not. But, I mean, it's, wow, that's just something else. Why are they thinking about the people of this country? We didn't do nothing wrong. You know, we ain't caused them any war. We didn't do shit to nobody. But we're the victims. Ain't that funny? Wow. But it just seems it goes on and on and on. It never gets stopped. This American Spring gig coming up this Friday. You know, I hope, hey, great, you know, if that works. But it just don't seem like it's got enough up to it to do any damage. I don't know. But, I mean, it's all going to come to an end eventually. It's got to come to an end seriously soon because it's destroying itself. It's like, what do they call it? What do they call that? Is it famish? Where your body starts to eat itself? Something like that. You know, it's eating itself alive. It actually is. This whole system's eating itself alive.
Disease. I don't know what it's called. Is that what you're talking about?
I guess. I just know your body starts to eat itself somehow or another. I think it's
flesh-eating disease.
Yeah. Well, if you don't eat, you know, your body will go and do that. It'll burn its own fat. You know, stay alive, you know. But yeah, man, wow. You know, most of the time you only see this shit in the movies. You know what I'm saying? It's always in the movies. But no, this is reality, and it's worse than the movies.
Well, you know, it goes to show how serious it is. This state senator, Nancy Schaefer, I believe she was in Georgia. Yeah, she was. Okay. Now, she was murdered behind this. And
right.
You can look on YouTube and you can see where, you know, she was, you know, going through, and she was fighting for these mothers whose children were being taken away. She heard so many cases that it just really bothers her. Even Ted Gunderson, you know, the former FBI, even though I'm not crazy about the man, but, you know, he was exposing what they were doing to children also.
Right.
So the people that are fighting, they're murdering.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, if you, I put the link in there. The article was from 2010. That was when her and her husband were killed. And they're calling it, of course, a murder-suicide. Because, you know, it wouldn't be anything else.
Yeah, the cover.
That her and her husband were killed. Hi, honey. I'm sorry, y'all. My daughter just came in from work.
So her husband is supposedly the shooter.
Yes, he shot her.
Yeah, okay. you just don't know what is next, man. I mean, don't keep in prison for next to nothing. You know, judges can be complete total assholes towards you. And I told you, been told, a judge said he loved fucking with people's lives. Loves fucking up people's lives. And that's what they do. They don't give a shit. You know, it would be fun to do that, wouldn't it? Hey, Iggy Mom, you have a good evening too, dear.
Yes.
You know, but, yeah.
Thank you, Iggy. When the babies aren't being protected, something is wrong. You know, the babies are not being protected.
By the people that's supposed to be protecting them. By the people that's supposed to be protecting them.
And you're going to come and take them from the people that are. And I'm not saying that every case is the state is wrong.
Right.
But what I am saying is one case is wrong. If you're taking one child away from the home unjustifiably, it's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
One child being abused in the system is wrong. One child being murdered in the system is wrong. One child being raped in the system is wrong. You know, one child being abused in the system is wrong.
Well, anything that happened to a child in the system is wrong. It's supposed to be there to be perfect, the perfect world.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? That's what they expect.
Yeah.
So, you know, man.
Who's watching the protectors?
Right, they're watching the watchers. That's the way I look at it, watching the watchers. I say that all the time. You know, and then, you know, I've been told that, you know, by people that, you know, you guys watching the watchers. I said, yep, you betcha. That I got to. You know, I have nothing. I have no other way. None of us have any other way. Yet the ones who go the other way are the ones that ain't watching nothing and don't care.
Yeah, that's correct.
You know, that's the problem. And if it wasn't people like me that do care, then, you know, this would be completely cyborg zombieism. You know, you'd be a zombie to them. You'd be like a dog.
Yeah.
You have no more sense than a dog, you know. You want to be loved. You want to be forgetful. And you want to, you know, have affection. But, you know, it doesn't matter what you think. Just the way it is, you know.
Yeah.
So that's what they're doing. That's what, you know, exactly.
And what happened to the children not being turned over to the families? You know, I'm so grateful that my children are grown. Yeah, I'm just so grateful for that, you know. So, but I think about other children, you know. You see all these little children out here, and you're like, Lord, it's just, you know, protect the babies.
Right.
You know, because it doesn't have to be my child or my grandchildren, but I don't want to see anyone's child going through hell.
Well, you know, that guy said exactly the same thing I said. He talked about neighbors, you know, would continuously fucking with you, calling them on you. You know what I mean? Like, finally come up with some type of case. Right. I mean, that's where there's a failure there. There's a problem, you know. When people are abusing
the system,
they're just as bad as the abuser. You know, they're just bad as the abuser doing that themselves, you know.
But,
so,
Ron, you know what else the problem is? Why do the people that feel that they can call and lie about these people, okay?
Right.
Why do they have an incentive? See, you know, the person that called on you, well, their incentive was they wanted your house.
They were trying to gain something, right. And
Why are the people that, if you file a false report, then shouldn't they be coming after the person who's filing false reports?
But no. You missed that part. You missed that part, apparently, on Antonetta. Because here's what I'm telling you. The guy said, too, the same thing. He says, you can call it anonymously. So
yeah.
It lie.
Yeah, but anymore,
I mean?
Is there anything anonymous? You call in somewhere, your number pops up all over the place.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
So there is no anonymous.
And, you know, blocking it, you might be blocking one person, but you ain't blocking everybody. There's still people getting
number. You're not blocking it when you're calling into the system. Your number goes through. You're calling into any state or federal. Your number's going through. You're not blocking nothing. That's why I said, what is the anonymous?
Right. And they
who's doing it. And then if you have someone who's going to call through and do it anonymously, then how valid is their complaint?
Right. No, but then
if you're that concerned about someone's child, then it shouldn't be an anonymous complaint.
But see, he's saying how he's playing. He's talking exactly how they play it. You know, I've been through this. I understood everything he was saying. Is they come there? You know, they might have nothing on you on an anonymous complaint. They go to talk to you, and you want to tell them shit you shouldn't be telling them, and they make a case out of that.
Yes.
I don't want to tell them. Right. They ask you questions. They suck you in. And that's how they get you. Right. It's like fishing.
Yeah. Or they
like
talk to your children without being in your presence.
Right.
You know,
that's another one.
At school or whatever else.
And they can legally do that because you know why?
Yeah.
The children are really dead. That's why the first.
Yeah.
They're a corporation.
Yeah.
They're a product from a corporation. Women are factories.
Yeah.
Men are workers. That's, you know, that's how it works. And that's the sad part about it. They still there and they play away. People don't get that. You know, that's, you know, it's bullshit, but that's how they play the game. That's how the game's played. I mean, it took me years to figure this shit out on how this works, you know. And it's insane. It's so easy. You know, really, it's not honest
at all.
It ain't honest at all, but it's easy. They got a way of doing it. I mean, if I could take what I know and start selling cars, I'd be a rich man overnight. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's like, you know, like these presidential elections, man. I think it's car salesmen. I just say that's my thought, you know. It seems like car salesmen trying to sell something. Or like a TV lawyer ad, you know. I guarantee you I can get you best results. You know, da, da, da. I've litigated this, I've did that, you know, all this bullshit. Yeah, and I laugh at them. And it's funny when I see the ones at my local stations around here, I actually run into those guys who once at the courthouse. I cracked up at them. They're funny as hell. You know, the Glory TV Boys ambulance chasers. Glorified ambulance chasers, I call them. But that's their thing. But, yeah, I mean, they're part of it, too. They're all It's all one group. It's not.
Yeah.
Mm-mm. There's no innocent side to shit unless you know what you're doing.
And who benefits from this? I can tell you who loses from it. These children are losing from it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as I said, the ones that are violently being taken, you know, hopefully they're getting placed in a decent foster home. But,
well, you know, funniest thing I really like, Antoinette, I catch
what's
you on
that?
That, the funniest thing I like is here's a guy in prison. He has children on the outside, okay? And he is still forced to pay child support, okay? When he is no longer that person, he's now property of the state.
Right.
So since the state has possession of him, shouldn't the state be paying for the children?
No. Don't they have to pay for while they're in there? I thought I heard of a case. Now, was it you that told me where they sent you a bill? They sent someone a bill after they got out of prison?
Yeah, sure. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Ain't that crazy? Yeah. It's like the county jail here, they charge $45 a night. You're there, $45 a day.
Yeah.
Oh, I would love to spend the night. I would.
Luxury accommodations, huh?
I'd be hitting that panic button in that jail, you know, so they got the buttons inside you press to talk to the dude to control.
Oh, do they?
Oh, yeah. I would say,
that's good.
I would press the button. I said, yeah, excuse me, sir. You know, I'm paying $45 a fucking night for this place. I want my lobster and champagne delivered. That's what I would
say. Well, I think that's for your cotton, isn't it? Your room and board?
Your steel bunk and your wafer of a mat. Yeah, that's what you get.
And your meals. Don't forget your three meals. And your shower.
That's worth it.
Not worth it.
No. I want room service. Fuck that. And they better have C-SPAN.
Oh, do you have cable in there? Oh, I guess you do get cable in there. I don't know.
I don't know.
Lord, I don't want to know.
It's been a while.
Pardon me?
It's been a while for me since I've been in jail.
Yes, well, I hope you don't make it a habit.
Oh, I think it's fun. I used to get a blast out of it.
Only you, Ron.
Well, yeah.
We are not pushing the ideal of going to jail, folks. Ron knows it is not fun.
My incidents are over traffic issues. Usually insurance. I don't like to get insurance cards.
Yeah, still. And no one should have to go
to
jail over traffic.
I want them to arrest me. That's the funny part of
it. Well, why do you go to jail for traffic? I mean, how can they put a person in jail for traffic? And I know
if you don't have insurance, you go to jail for it. If you don't have insurance, you go to jail.
Okay, I thought you meant like for running a stoplight or something like that.
No, you had too many of them,
they put you in jail.
Well, yeah. Well, of course they will. But no. No insurance.
Oh, really?
Yes. They have roadblocks here. You know, and they'll, the Gestapo, I call them. And, they don't stop me no more. They just push me on through them, which I don't care stop me. If they know me, which some of them do, not all of them do, and I'm sure my plate's on the reader and tells them who I am, what I'm about, whatever. But I just simply refuse to talk to them. I don't want to give them shit. Don't have to. And I know I don't have to. Because I'm just traveling. You know, first I'm going to know what the mercy was in flashing lights on, first off. Then I'm going to know where the victim is. He's a complaining party.
Yeah.
You know,
well,
and
those
and
lights
I charge
flashing
their,
is you, the victim.
Right. Right.
That's enough
so,
to cause, you know, give someone a heart attack or something like that.
Right. But I was, you know, my thing, you know, I tell them like this, we'll be attached for the next 3 years. So it costs you money to talk to me. You know, and it's not cheap. You know, I said, but today I have a special. I'm only charging $500 an hour. So, you know, talk on. You just entered a contract, me and you. One corporation to another.
Well, Ron, unfortunately, not everyone knows the law. And as they're stripping more and more, but as they're stripping more and more constitutional rights, then is that no longer going to apply?
Well, here's what I'm saying. I'm not offering legal advice, and I'm not a lawyer, but here's what I'm saying.
Right, I know that. I'm asking
you
a question.
Right, but you got to look at it this way. Okay, you as a corporation, you live by a different set of laws, okay?
Yes.
Whole different set of them, okay? But you as a human person, or whatever you want to call it, the being that is, has constitutional law, you see?
Yeah.
But the thing
but
is...
But now, did you... Go
the birth certificate changed you from that human being to a... corporation. Do you understand that now? Turned into a corporation when you got your birth certificate. Okay, so you're no longer that person. You got this stamped on you at birth. See what I mean?
Right.
So, now, the thing is, though, you got to know how to go both ways. And they, you ain't taught this, they don't want you to know it, but you have to go claim your rights. If you don't claim what's right for you, you can't get nothing for it. You see what I'm saying? You have to show them, you have to explain to them you are not a part of that corporate entity, period. That is not you.
Yeah.
If you claim, if they ask you, you know, is, you know, your name is, you know, Antoinette from Delaware, and you say yes, guess what? That's you, the one they're going
then
for.
Then I claimed it, yes.
You, but you're claiming the corporate name, if that was your actual given
name. Right.
Okay. That's right there. That's what puts you in their jurisdiction.
Right.
Right there. I never tell them my name. Never. Mm-mm. If they come up and say, is your name so-and-so? I'd say no. I said, they call me this. Ron of the Rec Plan family. You know, that's who I am.
Yeah.
That's where I come
and
from.
And I've heard some of the children say,
but,
you know, they'll say
the
to me, Mr.
Is, you know,
don't say my
you
government
know,
name. I'm like, your government name. I mean, the government didn't name
government.
You. Your parents named you.
But
I guess I'm...
You, but on the title of me, it's Rex. Add to it.
Yeah.
You see what I mean?
Yeah.
You can add to it. Add to the name. Because, one, I'm adding to the fact that it's Ron of the Rec Line family.
Yeah. Or Ron A. Rec.
Yeah. See, I'm telling you. On the
I'm
line.
Sorry.
See, it's crazy, isn't it? But anyway, that's how it works. It's crazy. You know, people get involved in a contract as soon as they start talking to them. They admit guilt the second they get there. It's terrible. You know?
This is what I'm asking. As they're stripping more and more of the Constitution away, and they're stripping the rights away, the government
legally,
rights
they
away.
They cannot do that. They cannot do
but
that
if they're
the
taking,
way they're doing it.
If they're
they
taking,
can't do it.
The, but
they
can't
are,
do it
yes,
wrong. They're
what,
doing it.
Well, they're changing the rules. They're going around it.
Of course.
You see what I mean? It's still there. It still exists. They're not taking it away. They're just trying to maneuver another way around it. You see what I mean? That's what they're doing. But to me, that's what I think.
But we're seeing more and more constitutional rights that are being stripped away.
I don't think they're being stripped away. They're just being reworded. Change them.
Okay, well, what about the ones where the Fourth Amendment, you know, along the coastal lines, you know, you're in a constitutional area, a constitutional free area, excuse me.
Mm-hmm. Well,
you know, so?
That doesn't, it depends on what the history of the layout was. If it goes back to what it was in America, it's just America. It doesn't matter what part of it you're in.
Yeah,
you know,
that's not the way how they're looking at it. When they come to pick you up, they're not looking at what you're thinking or what your knowledge is of the original organic constitution. They're looking at what they're considering their, you might as well say, a new constitution and new amendments,
well,
because they're just changing them all around.
They're not looking at our rules. They're looking at their rules.
Right. So whose rules are going to surpass? Theirs.
Well, yeah, it's the perfect con. The perfect con job. Can't beat it. But it's coming to a head now. People are starting to wake up to this. You know, it was bound to happen anyway. It's bound to happen anyway. I mean, I don't want anything happen to anybody. Seriously, we don't.
Oh, no,
you know,
I don't either.
I hate this bullshit world we live in. All this fighting and wanting to fucking control this and do that and fuck this person over and fuck that. Why do we do that? It don't make no sense. It's completely ignorant.
No.
It makes no sense.
And that
most
it
of the
is.
Time.
It's complete ignorance.
And I know
and
they don't want us to know what they want.
Jealousy and envy.
Right.
Over jealousy and envy and over wanting something that's not yours.
It's
something
insane.
That belongs to someone else's, so therefore you want to take it.
Right.
You know,
right.
Just like
jealousy.
With the CPS thing, you envy
but
someone else's
really
children. You want them, so you take them.
Well, here's the way it looks. The way I've mapped it out is, you know, I have more than you. It means I'm bigger and better than you type scenario. That's what I see all the time, and that's what we deal with. And it's turning against itself. You know, I mean, they say everybody says, well, they're worried about us, the people. You know, because they're getting a little uptight because they're worried about us flipping out on them or whatever, blah, blah, blah. Well, they just work for us, you know, in reality.
Yeah,
but
in
know,
reality,
are people too, are people too dumb? Are people too dumbed down we can't turn on and fix this?
Yes.
You know?
Yes,
you know,
people
it,
are too dumbed
you know,
down.
Right. You know, why do we
you
have
know,
so many people in
what,
jail?
In the 60s or even further back than that?
Why is this corporation involved with this prison system? You know, why is Monsanto
why do they have private prisons?
Product?
Why
right,
do they have private prisons?
Why
do we have people that are making
there?
Money off of other people going to prison?
Right. Like I said, this thing just flipped our net on that VA deal on these nursing homes. It's still in the beginning. This shit's starting to lock up now. You know, they're going to take the old out first. Kill the old ones off fast. You know, the other day we talked about the 40 people that died in VA hospitals in the past 3-4 years or whatever, or past 2 years, then you got the fact of this, you know, since these nurse homes don't want to increase this minimum wage factor, you know, then that's not going along with the government guidelines. Okay? Government guidelines demands them have to do it as an executive order. Well, then if these nurse homes are not going to renew these contracts with these government contracts anymore, they won't take VA veterans anymore. Where are they going to put these people?
I don't know.
On the street? They can't take care of themselves?
So,
I mean, come on.
But then
so they're trying to contact
more
families and, you know, it's some bullshit. It's bullshit.
Yeah, but then you want more children to go out here and fight and then to know that, you know, okay, if I survive this war, you know, I'm coming back to not getting, you know, appropriate medical care.
Right.
For injuries that I sustained in a war that was not my fight?
You're scrap. You're scrap. You've been used. You're done. You're scrap.
Yeah.
That's it. More or less like looks, you know. I'm just going by what I see. I mean, you know, I'm not making none of this up, and I don't go for that. But I mean, I'm going by what I see. Let's just scrap them out. You know, the more we kill off, the less we have to pay for. You know?
Yeah. Well, that goes back to Agenda 21 where they want to kill off 80% of the population.
Right. Yeah. It never worked. I mean, they could try. I mean, they could. I mean, if they really wanted to be, they could probably do something pretty fucking bad to make that happen.
Yeah, well, you figure with Child Protective Services that, you know, they're taking the children, so they're messing them up. Well, in turn, you also have the parents that are all messed up and stressed out, you know, because they're worried about their children.
Well, but one of the parents are stressed out about the economy going to shit. How they afford to fucking rent? How they keep these kids dry?
And how they gonna afford to feed their children and clothe them?
Right. Exactly. Exactly. It's coming.
But that doesn't make every parent a bad parent.
No, it's not. But you know, it's you're seeing more activity in this game. But the thing is, if the government would cut out giving so much bonus benefits for this shit, for them snatching kids, you know. Because before the government actually gave them these bonuses, deals, there wasn't that many kids all put into foster care like it is now. It's like rampant, you know?
Yeah,
I mean, they are rocking and rolling this shit. They're out for the dollar. Damn right, why not? Shit, that's what I'm saying, why not? You know, if you get by with doing this to people, the only one gets to live with it yourself. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it's, you know, I couldn't live it myself. I wouldn't matter. No way possible. Mm-mm. Never.
No, I couldn't either. I couldn't. I wouldn't want. You know, I wouldn't want to.
But I, you know, I the ones that do this shit, I think they need to be punished. You know. You know that putting people in a situation like that, just you know, you have no truth, no heart. You know, purpose.
Well, Ron, the question that I asked. In the description, CPS shows up at your door. What do you do?
Well, I did. I would do what he told you not to do. Don't tell him to fuck off. That's what I tell him. But I mean,
okay. Does CPS always have your child or children's best interest at heart?
No. Of course not.
Okay, and how do children end up in foster?
Well, it depends on what. If you're a bad parent, it happens. You know, and that you know, if you're a dumbass,
is it only bad parents
kids,
or
feeding,
is it?
Not taking care of, it's
but
not
is
people,
it only
no,
bad
it's,
parent?
It, no, it's all parents are pretty well now the victim of this.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a money game. Anthony, you know, man, money makes people do weird shit, you know. It does. I mean, money powers people's minds, like you wouldn't believe, you know.
Yes, okay, well, that answers
it
the next
ours.
Question. Mm-hmm. Is CPS using children as a cash cow for the state?
Of course they are, and themselves.
Yes.
It's a win-win
and why
situation,
was Senator
there?
Nancy Schaefer, and why was Senator Nancy Schaefer and her husband murdered for exposing CPS?
They were a whistleblower.
Yeah, she was a whistleblower.
The
so what is abuse? Right, what
liable.
Is abuse to a child? And who was checking the foster parents? And that was the description that I gave for the show, but it was questions that I really think that, you know, everyone really needs to ask themselves and research for themselves, you know, to really look, because they're taking children everywhere. I don't think it matters what color, you know, what your zip code.
Age and eye color. Age, eye, hair color.
Pardon me?
No. Age, eyes, and hair color. Is what you're looking to buy.
Yeah, or your zip code.
Yep.
Or your educational level, you know, you've been to college or you haven't been to college, if they can, you know, have a reason to come in and take them, or if your neighbor wants to call them for whatever purpose.
You know, I have little
children. Doesn't even have to be related to your children, just that I don't like you.
Well, you know, when I was adopted, you know, I was an adopted child. I got adopted when I was about 30, 32 years old. I got adopted.
Ron is a nut.
I actually did, believe it or not, I have a very nice couple that I've known for a long time. And
yes,
like
I remember
mom,
you telling me about it.
Yeah.
And they just spoiled you. Yeah, they spoiled you.
Not in anything immaterial. You know, they spoiled me by knowledge. That's what they taught me.
Yeah.
They taught me a lot, you know.
And that's the best way to be spoiled.
He retired from the Sheriff's Department. But he's also retired from the Sheriff's Department. So, you know, you know. And it's just, wow. You know, it's real cool. So,
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, good people. Ain't too many of them around. And I'm real protective over them also, you know.
Well, you're supposed to be.
Well, absolutely. They don't.
Yeah.
They don't like, they know I don't, they don't like me to get mad. I mean, I don't really get mad, but they don't like, no.
Yes. Well,
I mean,
Ron, we're down to 14 minutes in the show.
Oh, my God, it's almost over. Thank you, Lord.
Oh, you ought to be ashamed.
I got to throw some type of jokes in here, Antoinette. It's been slow.
Yes, well, shows. Pumpkin is here.
Oh, I know, yeah. I'm glad to see Pumpkin here and guessing 85-57.
Yes.
Appreciate you all coming. Absolutely.
I want to play a song that I have not heard in years, so hope y'all will bear with me for 5 minutes and give me the ultimate pleasure in hearing it. It's going to be a surprise for you too, Ron.
It's an old song?
Yes.
All right. Now, there we go. That's a good song.
Yeah, well, here at the Ron Rex, so, yeah, that's from the 70s, the black exploitation films. But here at the Ron Rex Show, we're not the pusher of drugs or, you know, telling you to go out and do harm to people. But we are the pushers of information and encouraging you to do research. So we're pushing for that. We are pushers of that, of you seeking information.
And I agree
and
with
researching
you on that. Absolutely.
And getting to know this stuff for yourself. You know, so we are pushers of that. Thank you, Pumpkin. I'm glad you liked it. Curtis Mayfield made some great songs.
I
know
I
about the word nice.
No.
About the word nice? Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
No. Yeah, everything you said about what we're doing, one push to look up information. But
yes.
I have a problem. I love that song. Don't get me wrong. I love that song. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
But I have a problem with it. I have a problem. Every time I hear that song, I want to go get high. You know, I don't understand that. It's just, you know, so it's just
well,
a kickback song, you know.
Because
I mean,
it's
like
that.
Back in college.
And I'm
like
sorry.
Back in college, man, you know. I'm just...
Yeah, well, it was
I'm
back
talking
in the 70s.
I just smoked some weed, listened to that song. You know, I dug that song. I like the beat.
Yeah,
I mean,
that's
you know,
why I said
more,
I haven't heard
more.
It in years. I haven't heard Curtis Mayfield in years, and I just, you know, I was like, oh, I really want to hear him. But, you know, that's why I said, but, you know, we're not pushing for that ideology.
No,
you know?
I'm just joking.
I'm pushing you to.
Right.
Yeah, I'm pushing you to research. You know, do the research. I mean, Lord, you know, you have to research everything. Research the medication. Research, you know, I mean, Lord, use take advantage of this internet while we still have it. You know, research
exactly.
everything. And take notes,
exactly.
you know, write it down. You know, just research.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so for that, you know, I'm the pusher for that.
You know, we got to call her on the board.
I will push you to get research. Yes, that's Miss Elvira.
Is that who it is? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Hello. Hello, Miss Elvira. How are you?
I'm hanging in there.
Hello, Miss
right
Elvira.
I'll be on the street. Yeah.
Oh,
I'll be on
no.
the streets again by the 20th if I don't get it some help, but, you know. I keep believing in God, you know.
Yeah.
What they're doing to me with my medical, I mean, nothing has changed from Pennsylvania, but, you know, I keep a positive attitude. You know,
yeah.
And keep hope alive.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
That's what we have to do.
They diagnosed me with everything but have, you know.
Damn.
And then they're not giving me medications and things that I really need. And then a psychiatrist, I'm in a hospital, I'm getting blood. I got blood hooked up to me, liquid antibiotic, and what you call it, the regular thing that they give you. All that I'm hooked up to. And then when I get out of the hospital, I look at my medical records, and some psychiatrist claimed he was in my room, and he put a mental diagnosis in my medical records. Isn't that something? Go figure. How do these things happen to people and nobody's doing nothing about these things? I go to a hospital, I end up in a mental hospital. Seeking medical treatment for internal bleeding and all that. This has happened to me 7 times. How many more times things like this have to happen before somebody say enough is enough? And it's doctors
right.
and social workers, people that we really depend on. I'm 63 years old. I ain't got time for that BS. You know?
Exactly.
Sorry.
No, you're okay. You're fine. That's just like this. We're talking
you're
about
free
you know, protective services.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Say what you need. Don't matter. It's uncensored.
Yeah. That's what they
do. You know, for now.
Yeah. It's all about my property, my land. My brother sold
yeah.
it out for money. Although
yeah, Ron, you have to check her case out. Her brother sold her land.
Yeah. If you can get the information for me, that'd be great.
Yeah.
Yeah, because this is Tallahassee. This is historical land. It's land that my grandfather, he left Africa. He sold his tribe to the American government. And I shouldn't be wanting the land because of this. But it's, it is all I have, and I have the worst family you ever want to see. And American government put him with Florida, North, and South Carolina with the Cherokee Indians and told them for each child they have, they can get an acre of land at $10 an acre. I mean, an acre of land at $1 an acre, 10 acres of land. And my grandfather had 16 children, so that gave him 160 acres of land. Now, what happened to the 60 acres that they're not even talking about?
Right.
On top of, you know? So they took it from me and then had me thrown in mental hospital so they can say I'm crazy. And that's
why
they stole my property. Yeah.
Right, right.
And they have the they still have the mineral rights. I bet you he still have those mineral rights. Ain't no way he sold the land and the mineral rights.
Well, if you anyway, we got 90 seconds, folks. If you were considered incompetent by the courts, then they had you assign you a person that would have power of attorney over you to make that decision.
That's what I need to find out because
that's where you got to start.
Were you on that call that day when I was? I called that Mr. Talk's call. I went to the hospital. I was there getting IV for the first time since all this started with me in 2004, in October. First time I've been able to get an IV from the bleeding to help stop the internal bleeding and stuff. And the woman, she put a sedative in there, too. I'm laying up there half awake, half asleep. Next thing I know, I'm being quartered off to a mental hospital. And I just called in the Mr. Talk show. You know, when as it was happening to me, this is just horrific. What's happening? And now they got my own family putting me on the streets. You know.
Yeah, that's but people are greedy. They don't care.
No, they don't.
You know what I mean?
They don't heal. That's right. I'm proof of that.
Yeah, I mean it's sad. You know,
money
families fighting each other like
that. That's what I told Teresa Lepore, you know, about the butterfly ballot in Boca. Money talks and bull walk. Thank you. Thank you for listening.
Anytime, sweetheart. Yeah, it's just an evil, evil world we live in. There's no kidding. It's not cool. That's a fact. It's just, you know, you don't know which way to look. Because every time you turn, you see something bad. It never fails.
Even the union ripped me off. I used to work in banquets. I make $1,000 in a week. And I get less than $600 of that $1,000. And then they're going to tell me all I can get is $17 for my pension?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
I've seen like people get they went that 401k shit, you know.
Oh yeah, paying for big surprise.
Oh, I've seen people get screwed out thousands and thousands of dollars over that. You know, they go retire, they have like invested $50,000-$60,000 in that son of a bitch, and the job.
I went for the 401k and pushed it on my children doing it too.
Here's what I'm saying. The 401k, I'm telling you, it's a risk game. You're letting
people
lose your money, man. But anyway, I'm telling you, people, I've taught people, they have $50,000, $60,000 invested. The company they work for is supposed to match them dollar for dollar. They didn't do that. And by the time they got retired, got out, they had about a third of it.
That's right.
So
see what happened to me, and I was in the union.
I was in the union once. I was in the state of Illinois, and I was in the union there, Lyman's union, and I had, you know, they promised me the planet, trust me, you know what I mean? And 2 years later, I got a pink slip, I was done, and I went to them, and they offered me a job for half the money and another
in Alaska. So.
Wow.
No.
Mr. Bauer,
no.
Mr. Bauer, do you mind if I take 3 minutes and play a mellow song for us?
Okay, can I just say one thing? It's
yes.
not what you know in this world today. It's who,
it's
you,
who
know.
You know.
Remember that.
Yes, it is. But you're not hanging up, are you? You're staying with us,
no,
aren't
no,
you?
No. I'm going to listen to the song. I like the other one, too. Push me.
Okay, well, just, okay,
right
well just stay with us, okay?
I am.
Okay.
Sitting in the morning sun, I'll be sitting when the evening comes, watching the ships roll in, and then I'll watch them roll away again. Yeah, I'm sitting on the dock of the bay, watching the tide roll away. Sitting on the dock of the bay, wasting time. I left my home in Georgia, headed for the Frisco Bay. I've had nothing to live for, and look like nothing's gonna come my way. So I'm just gonna sit on the dock of the bay, watching the tide roll away. I'm sitting on the dock of the bay, wasting time. Look like nothing's gonna change, everything still remains the same. What 10 people tell me to do, so I guess I'll remain the same. Sitting here resting my bones, and this loneliness won't leave me alone. It's 2,000 miles I roam, just to make this dock my home. Now I'm just gonna sit at the dock of a bay, watching the tide roll away. Ooh, sitting on a dock of the bay, wasting time.
Oh, it'd be nice if we can go back to those times.
Oh, God.
Wouldn't it just...
Mm-hmm. Oh, God, yes.
Yes. Just to relax and kick back and just enjoy the day.
Mm-hmm. Long gone.
Okay, yeah, mm-hmm. Because not even the water is pure anymore.
That's true. Did you see Jessica Chua the other day talking about the water, how China is coming over here, taking the water back over there, storing it, and they're putting lithium in the water. And they were saying they would not drink bottled water.
Yes, I heard that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
We're in deep, you know what.
Yes.
See, you all haven't
that
been affected
true.
The way I am. I mean, I am. God, it's a madhouse. Just go to stopthecrime.net when you have a chance.
Yes,
yes,
I called her tonight. I left her a message.
Oh,
Debbie,
you're Therese. Talking about Dorothy?
No, yes. Debbie Therese.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. She had called me before to do the show, so I had left her a message because I wanted to, you know, ask her some questions.
Oh,
Talk to her.
Mm-hmm. That's a good choice. I hope you get old, yeah.
Yes, I have to see if she would like to come and join us.
Mm-hmm. Maybe I'm
not. But not on Friday night.
What if I ask Derek Robinson from that website, freedomfchs.com?
You have to give me, email me his information again.
I will. Just go to freedomfchs.com.
Mr.
Barr,
you know I'm not going to remember that.
Okay, I'll make sure you get it.
Thank you.
And I'll call him and I'll tell him to look out for a call from you. You know.
Okay,
you know, Reverend
yeah,
Pinkney,
that'd be good.
You know Reverend Pinkney?
Yes.
Well, they arrested him.
Yes.
And now
he's out now.
Yeah, but he can't leave his house. He can't even use
right. He's on house arrest.
Right.
Yeah, so that's terrible.
Let me tell you something. They're having this huge protest in Michigan where he lives. You know, the people
mm-hmm.
against the PGA. That's
uh-huh.
where he's stealing the water too, where Reverend Pinkney is.
Yeah.
And now, if you know people who is into that kind of thing, it's going to be huge.
Yeah.
Kelly is going to be there. The anti-war movement is going to be there. It's going to be a lot of people there.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. And if you'd like to get him on the show, pardon me. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Let me do another song, and we'll be right back with you. You're going to stay, right?
Yes, ma'am. To the end, I'll fall asleep on you.
Well, don't go to sleep.
Okay.
We're in the middle of a revolution because I see the face of things to come. Oh, your Constitution, well, my friend, it's gonna have to bend. I'm here to tell you about destruction of all the evil it will have to end. Gonna get the notion, I know. They'll say I'm preaching hate. If I have to swim the ocean, well, I will, just to communicate. It's not as simple as talk and jive, the daily struggle just to stay alive. About a change, more than just air pollution. Well, you know, you've got to clean your brain. The only way that we can stand, in fact, is when you get your foot off my back. What to do? I'm telling you.
3 and a 4 and a...
Excuse me. Well, I am new to that right at the bright moment. Okay, everyone. Well, we're back and we're getting ready to close this episode out. So I just wanted to pause that so that we can thank you for coming on and talking with us, Miss Elvira.
Absolutely.
I thank you more than anything. And when you want to have Reverend Pinkney on, let me know, too. I'll let him know. Give you the
okay,
number.
Ron, do you know about Reverend Pinkney?
No, I don't.
Oh, he has a heck of a case that's going on right now also.
Mm-hmm.
But he also
What's
has a show here on Reverend Pinkney,
P-I-N-K-N-E-Y, yes. He has a show, Burn Your NAACP Card. Yeah!
Yes, he's a...
P-I-N-K-E-Y.
Yes.
Yes, he come on Sundays at 5 o'clock on Blog Talk Radio.
Yes, I believe he's in Detroit, also in Michigan, I believe.
Yes, he's in Michigan.
Yeah,
he's like
a... Yeah.
Look at that. I have a low ceiling. I got a storm hitting me now, so I'm going to prop myself phone.
Yeah.
Tell me
so
close,
I'm going
to.
Yeah, I'm going to close out. I just wanted to say that before you were cut out. I'm going to play this song and close this out, Miss Elvira.
Yes,
again,
dear,
you know I love you. And
I love you too, dear.
And you know you have my number, so you can give me a call. But, you know, the songs that I have been playing are basically from the 60s and 70s, and that was during, you know, especially the ones from the 60s was from the wartime in Vietnam. And, you know, now, you know, we just see the wars on top of wars, and, you know, whether they're calling them wars or whatever they're calling them. But even during that time, the government was playing with the people, and we see we're right back at that same cycle again, where the government is playing with the people. But this time, they're just doing a full-fledged attack.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, so it's just, you know, these songs are just reminders, you know, of where we once been. And, you know, we overcame that. So that we just don't leave just with just doom and gloom. You know, we overcame that time, and we'll overcome this time also. So.
Yes, we will.
Yes. And so
absolutely.
I'm going to find a more upbeat one.
Absolutely.
And we're going to say good night. And we thank everyone for coming. And, you know, we love you. And, you know, we'll be your pusher man and pusher woman for the info.
Yeah.
We'll push
you. Absolutely. Yeah. There we go. Right on.
If I could save time in a bottle, the first thing that I'd like to do is to save every day till eternity passes away, just to spend them with you. If I could make days last forever, if words could make wishes come true, I'd save every day like a treasure, and then again I would spend them with you. But there never seems to be enough time to do the things you want to do once you find them. I've looked around enough to know you're the one I want to go through time with. If I had a box just for wishes and dreams that had never come true, the box would be empty except for the memory of how they were answered by you. But there never seems to be enough time to do the things you want to do once you find them. I've looked around enough to know you're the one I want to go.
Okay, well, we want to thank you for coming to the show, and we'll see what, you know, we probably need to talk about the internet. That's happening the 15th, so, you know, we need to talk about that. That's just 2 days away. So, Ron, do you want to say something?
What's going to happen with the internet?
Well, they're talking about shutting it down.
Oh, they're going to do that anyway. If they did it in Venezuela, you better bet it's going to happen here.
Yeah.
Sooner or later.
Yeah, well, they're giving us a date,
well,
so we have to see how,
really,
you know, this
needs
goes.
To be shut down. Well, it don't need to be shut down. It's just some of those, you know, those wires and stuff, they need to go. They're all on top of old folks, old people. Buildings where they live in.
Mm-hmm.
It hurts people. Just go to those websites. You'll see.
Oh, yeah, they do. Those towers and things like that.
Yes.
They do.
Yeah. And they put them in trees and things like that. I mean,
yeah, they're cutting the trees down because they need an imbalance. But
yeah,
Ron has a bad storm that he's into right now.
Wow.
You know, thunderstorm.
Oh, really?
That where he lives. And
wow.
Yeah.
Well, I hope it'll be all right.
Yeah, so that's the reason why we were going to cut the show so that he can get off.
Yeah.
But
okay.
I opened his mic, and I guess he must not hear us.
Well, I can hear that. What is that, the weather we're hearing in the background?
Yeah. Yeah, I can mute him. I just thought he would want to say goodnight. But maybe he's not able to.
Yeah,
I'll put him back
on mute. Thundering and lightning.
Yeah. And that's what we're having tomorrow, so tomorrow night, if it's at this time, it'll be Ron.
I'm still live for a second, but anyway,
hope you're live longer than a second.
Yeah, I'm looking at radar. We're getting the tail end of this thing is what's hitting us so hard, and it's causing the cell towers to lose, you know, signal. It happens. We're in the mountains, you know, of Missouri, the Ozarks, you know.
Wow.
So it happens. Yeah.
Missouri,
yeah, anyway, ladies, I'm going to get out of here. You have a good night. Thank you all for coming. I will
you
be in touch with you real soon,
sweetie.
Thank you. We'll
okay,
get together
and
we'll take a look at it. Absolutely. Anyway,
right.
I wish you all a good night, and I'll see you all tomorrow.
Yes.
All right.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Miss Elvira, again. And
I'll call you tomorrow. I'll call you tomorrow evening after I get back from the doctor's office.
Okay.
If they don't pull another whammy on me.
I hope they don't.
Me too, because I'm tired of it.
I know you are.
All right, dear. Good night.
Okay, you have a good night also.
And a blessed one. Thank you.
Thank you. You
Bye-bye.
Too. Bye-bye.